Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you by God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is taken from the Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 3, beginning at the 4th verse. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is our text. Over the years, you have heard me expound many times and in many different ways, and will hear me do it again and again and again up here, of how much we don't know, how ignorant the human race is. In the past, I've talked about how even today, biochemists and doctors and all that still don't know why aspirin does what it does. We don't. We just know that it does. I've talked about how things have been discovered out of the blue, like the wonder drug that was going to be the brand new drug that helps with heart patients. Not just for high blood pressure, but help to relieve the pain of angina, where you get that searing pain through your chest that makes you believe you're having a heart attack when no, you're only having the pain. And then they realize the wonder of it in the fact that it also caused a lot of guys to grow their hair back. So it became Rogaine. I've talked about so many other things, how even though they've studied it and studied it and studied it, they still don't know why it is that a seed, when you put it in the ground with water, will sprout and grow. They know the chemicals behind it, but what actually turns those on? And probably my favorite, all my biggest favorite, is the fact that human beings still have lied to themselves and have come up with the whole idea that many, many millions of years ago, there was this giant explosion that created everything. When we all know that explosions don't create things. They destroy things. And even the first person who came up with that theory thought it was only, a few million years ago. But the longer we're here and the more we study and the more we realize just how silly it is, these people who put their trust in that theory, along with the theory of grand evolution, keep putting that farther and farther and farther back. So you got more and more millions of years, as if that will make it more plausible. Considering the fact that, well, even something as simple as this communion rail, a couple of links of timber, a couple of uprights positioned as they are, the perfect miters in the corners, had to have somebody design it and make it for something so simple. And yet, something as complex as us, with all the biomechanical wonders, all the chemical reactions that are going on, the intricate, minute, just wonderful electronic impulses that go on through our body, through our nerves, which we still have yet to be able to duplicate. Or the miracle it is that light goes through the lens in our eye, focuses on the back of our eye, in the retina. And there are specific cells back there, rods and cones, that are able to pick up on those individual light variations so we can see. Oh, that was just chance. It came about over millions of years. The reason I bring all this up is to remind you once again of how infinitely silly and stupid and ignorant we all are. I'm not just calling each and every one of you and myself stupid. I'm calling us as a race stupid. And it's all right. It's not your fault. You were born that way. And so was I. It's not your parents' fault, because there's nothing that they could have done to educate you out of that. That goes down deep. And sometimes I think it goes even deeper than our DNA or anything else. It goes down into each individual little particle that makes up the body and the mind and even the soul that you call your own. And all of that, however, goes back to this episode that we read about in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. Before this episode, oh, we had the makings of a grand and glorious race of people. We had the makings of beings that would surpass the angels themselves in the mighty deeds we could have created, in the wondrous works we could have made in praise of our Lord and our God, in what we could have made of this world, and not just make so that we could rise up monuments with our own name on it, but that's Babel, we'll get to that later on, or grand things where we could reshape the course of rivers and build artificial mountains, but wondrous things that would have surpassed all of that and created no toxic waste, would not have impacted any other living thing. Can you imagine what a city like Houston or New York or Denver or Los Angeles would be like, created with the number of people in them, but still everything would be perfect, so there would be deer running through the streets. There would be bobcats that just would be lolloping down the road to be petted by individual children. There would be catfish and crappie and trout and perch in every creek and every stream. There would be abundance around. Now, I'm not just saying that because I don't like concrete and blacktop or anything else. I'm just talking about the perfection that could have been. And all because our first parents did what we all do now countless times of the day. We break that first commandment. That's what Eve did. Because that's what Satan tempted her with. Not with the idea that that fruit on that tree, no matter what we think, whether it's an apple, a pomegranate, a kumquat, a loquat, a peach, a pear, pineapple, whatever it was that was growing on that tree. I don't think there is any of that. I think it was this wonderful whatever it was, because it's just not here anymore. It wasn't just because it was just that luscious, that gorgeous, and everything else. No, that was the afterthought. It was that you will be like God. Why do you think that's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Because that's what Eve did. And Adam, Johnny come lately down the path. That's what they both did. They wanted to be like God. Or really, they wanted to be the God of their own lives. And look what they had. And look what they lost. So is it any wonder that we follow in their footsteps? Considering the fact that we don't have one scintilla of the life and the peace and the wonder that they had, that we still do the same thing every day in many and various ways. We want to be the God of our lives. Starts from childhood. As I've told you in the past, one of the first words that little kids learn, not mama and dada. They learn two words, no and mine. Why do you think they learn those two? Because those are the words of the autocrat. Those are the words of the dictator. Those are the words of a creature that wants to be in control 100% of their own lives, whether they know how to do that or not. That's our problem. From the very beginning, we couldn't just be happy with all the blessings that God gave us. We wanted to be in charge. And look what it gave us. And it's still there. You still see it throughout the world. No matter what happens, we can't get away from it. We talk about it. We try to argue ourselves out of it. We try to rise above that. We even have those wonderful aphorisms that tell us what is wrong, so hopefully we can learn from it. My favorite is, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's true. No matter who we elect as president or in any office, you know as well as I do, how often, no matter how great the promise they make, no matter how much fanfare we give them, no matter how much hope we pour into them, no matter how much we know this is a good person, this is a moral person, we trust how they think and how they live. For some reason, they go to Washington. And I'm sorry, it's not the fact that it was built on an old swamp, so is Houston. It's not the fact that it's up there on the East Coast. It's not the fact that it's just where government is. It's just the fact that you see your name on the door and people come up to you with that sort of little bow when they call you by your title, whether it's congressman or senator or justice or Mr. Vice President or even Mr. President. Whether it's just simple Mr. Mayor or Mr. Governor, we want to be in control. But we don't know how. We don't know what we're doing. That's why Paul goes in depth in Romans to talk about the fact that through that one man's sin, that how Adam just completely ruined everything by usurping God's place in his own life, broke himself, broke his children, and broke the entirety of creation. Christ, in that one act of righteousness, mends it all. And that one act of righteousness is not the fact that he laid there on that piece of timber and allowed them to put the nails in his hands. It wasn't just that the hours before that, he submitted himself to have the whip on the back and the canes and the spit in the face and the thorns on his head and all the insults. It wasn't the fact that at the Garden of Gethsemane that he let them bind him up when he, as he told Pontius Pilate, at a word, could have summoned legions of angels to protect and destroy all his enemies. He let himself be arrested and let himself be drug away like a common criminal. No, that one act of righteousness was even before that, when in that garden, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, I know why, when Christ finally died, the curtain of the temple was split in two, and so access to God, even visual access to the Father and the throne could be seen. I know why at that moment there was earthquakes and the darkness finally alleviated, and even some who had died had risen from the dead as that proclamation. I know why all that, because that is when the final guarantee of his sacrifice was done. He had done completely what he had come to do. But honestly and literally, when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done," and therefore set the course that he was going to undo what Adam and Eve did. and let the Father be God, and His will be done, and His sovereignty upheld. That even as God Himself, He was not going to place His own wants, His own supposed needs, His own vanity and want of power go against His Father and our Father. That's when He undid what Adam and Eve did and destroyed paradise for all of us. You can even see it in the temptations. You knew. Why do you think the devil ran after that third one? After that third temptation? Because don't you see what he did? First temptation went straight after his human side. 40 days you haven't eaten anything. Aren't you hungry? If you are the Son of God, just make a few pita loaves. Go ahead. Nope. Then, doubting of God's word and God's promises. But that third one, when he was taken up on the pinnacle of that great high mountain and shown all of the kingdoms of the world that were in Satan's own hands as the God of the air in this world, handed over to him by Adam and Eve, just worship me. I'll give them all to you. Don't worry about that cross. Don't worry about that suffering. Don't worry about, ooh, all that blood and all spit. Just worship me and I'll give it to you. No. No. Because the way of God is never easy. The way of God is never pleasant for us. I wish I could say, like some people get up in pulpits and everything else and say, God wants you to be completely and totally happy every single minute of every single day. But if I do that, once again, I'm becoming God. And I have to be. Because so often in His Word, He proves me wrong. Because if God wants us to have a completely happy and healthy life here on this earth, what do we say about Paul, who always had that thorn in the flesh, that finally after that third great bout of prayer, God whispered in his ear, "My mercy is sufficient for you." Or in other words, no, you're going to suffer. But through it, you'll learn how I take care of you. And by extension, Paul also knew, by writing about it by the Holy Spirit, he teaches us. You would know that God always, as a good parent and a good father, as all of you know as good parents and good parents, know that we need the discipline and we need we need the hand that grabs our collar and jerks us back every once in a while. Or, if you're really recalcitrant, we need the hand that grabs the belt and pulls us up and hangs us in midair and looks us right in the eye and says, "What are you doing?" And sometimes while that hand is holding us up in the middle of the air, the other one comes down and strikes us on that part of the body that God made good and fleshy so that it can take a little punishment that we need to know. Just like Dr. Lauren Rohr once told my little sister, you do know God put a nerve that runs straight from your behind up to your brain because a lot of times that's the only one that works. Jesus has undone what our parents did in Eden. Jesus kept for all of us the worst of that and would not take the role of God away from his Father. Jesus is the one who took everything wrong that we did, beginning with that one sin and all the other ones that we've heaped upon it and destroyed it on the cross. So hopefully we can finally give up and stop fighting to be the gods of our lives. When we don't even know why it is we think what we think and we do what we do, we make the same mistakes again and again and again. Oh, I'll just go ahead and repeat from the scripture. We who can't change the hair of our head from white to black. Or really, we can't make sure that it all stays growing and lush and full. So how are we supposed to be the rulers and the leaders of our own lives? And why don't we just stop and rest in Christ to be our Lord, our Savior, and our God? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.